Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Afrida Love, and today we will have a very special guest, or a very special guest today, and we will have the Boltons, and I will introduce them momentarily. But first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for just blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and we were able to just get started on our way, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you bless each guest who come on the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, bless their gifts, bless their hands, bless each project that they do, Heavenly Father. Just bless their family and just bless the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry and all other ministries. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And the scripture for today will come from, just a second, will come from John 14 and 6. And it reads, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have read to you John 14 and 6. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. And the moment you have all been waiting for, I have two very special guests, and they are the Boltons, and the Boltons would like to share a story with you from despair to victory, and I will let them come in their own way and share this remarkable story because, as you know, this story has been shared over radio stations, on television, and they're just a great inspiration. So without further ado, I would like to welcome the Boltons to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry. Are you guys on the line?
Yes,
we
are.
Sure are. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Okay, so would you all like to kind of give the listeners a background and kind of tell us a story?
We were going on a mission trip to a partially communist country. I cannot name the country in the book because missionaries are not allowed to be there as missionaries. They have to actually have a job in that country, and then they do their church work on the weekends and such. So we were going to do some mission work, and we were very excited. However, on the second day, my husband's colon ruptured. Just that in itself is a terrible, terrible thing. But my husband's a retired Air Force officer, and when we rushed him to the hospital in raging pain, he was wearing his Air Force retired shirt. And when the doctor saw it, he decided to treat him more as the enemy than a patient.
Oh.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted me to keep talking or if you had any questions in particular. But
Please continue to share.
Okay.
We're listening.
Okay. So he was laying in the bed, and we just honestly trusted him that a doctor may not love all of his patients or like them, but we still thought he would do as medically necessary. And at that time, we didn't understand what a ruptured colon required. And it wasn't until I started reading the book that we realized why people were begging us to get a medical emergency helicopter to take him out of the country. Well, at that point, he was too sick because 2 days after he was admitted and just laying there in the street clothes still, the doctor saw what was wrong. And at that point, it was too late. He had the worst case of peritonitis he had ever seen. So that was on Monday. He was rushed to the hospital on Saturday evening. So then he just mocked treatment. The little nurses would come in and take his temperature and take his blood and monitor his blood pressure. And the doctor would just kind of walk in slowly with his arms crossed and watching my husband turn green. He had sepsis, and then he had a near-death experience, which he just honestly recently expounded on more details than he told me as I was writing the book. It took him over a year to tell me about his near-death experience because it's so hard to explain in human words, but it was wonderful. It made me have tears of joy and excitement of the reality of heaven roll down my face when he told me.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay.
Sure.
So, as your husband was in bed and you was able to witness this, I want to say not suffering, but the ill will of the doctors, how did that make you feel and how did that build your trust in Jesus Christ?
It was frightening as a wife, thinking I was about to lose my husband, and the two missionaries that were with me in the room, we all thought we would lose him by his demeanor, his color, he was like not talking, and we were scared to death. But after, the only thing I could tell is that was the only time he was quiet and unresponsive, was he bolted out of that, pointing to his abdomen and said, whatever it is, take it, take it. So he went from not talking to urgency. So when I ran out and alerted the nurse's station that he's falling, he's crashing, he needs surgery, the bad doctor said it's time to call in a colleague. And another doctor came in and saved his life. Ironically, what caused me to cling to the Lord more than ever is at the same exact time, I got a Skype call from my siblings that I thought they were calling to cheer me up, and it wasn't. It was to tell me some of the worst news I could possibly get, and I was going to miss the funeral of someone I couldn't love more on planet Earth, and there was nothing I could do about it. I could not leave his side, and now we know, had I to attend the funeral, we would lose him, because it was weeks later that we almost lost him again, and it was only for the fact that I was in the hotel room checking on his wound while he was in bed. There are so many miracles on our story that Daryl should not be alive. Even the medical personnel that quoted in the book, one MD and three RNs with many years' experience, said medically speaking, he should not be alive.
Wow, but we know that it was by the grace of God that he's able to be
alive. Yes. Can I share another experience where God made himself so real? It was before I lost the dearest on earth, and I went to the balcony of our hospital. We were on the 9th floor, and I said, God, and my husband's not speaking hardly at this time, and I said, I need you to make yourself real to me. Here I am in this partially communist country, halfway around the world. And I said, please make yourself real to me. I need this. And this bright yellow bird flew by. And I went, ooh, that's good, because my husband calls me, when I wear a certain outfit, yellow birdie. And I went, oh, that's good. That's good, but that's not it. I need something bigger. And then another beautiful bird flew by, with a green body and a red head, and I'm a big 49er fan, and I kind of smiled and went, oh, that's good too. Good too. But that's not it. I need something bigger.
Right.
And I'm scanning the tree-lined park, and I'm looking, and I see a crow that starts to fly towards me, and I'm thinking, a crow? And as he gets closer, mind you, he did not go to the 10th floor, and he did not go to the 8th floor. He came straight near me, and he's so close, I could see he clearly had a French fry in his beak, which is my comfort food. And he curved and went to the next balcony. And the Lord knew I needed that French fry more than that person who lost it in that country. And it was like he brought me my comfort food. It was amazing.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
Jeez.
It was amazing.
Yeah. God is just awesome. Awesome, awesome. Now, Mr. Bolton, I want to ask you a question. As I was sitting here thinking about everything that you've been through and how good God has been to you, when you were going through the storms of life, what really kept you motivated? I know your wife was by your bedside, but what really kept you motivated, and how did you feel knowing that you've served your country, but now
there are individuals who don't want to serve you.
Yes. When I was in the hospital, and really our whole time in that country, both my wife and I, we had full confidence in the doctor and everybody on staff, just as you would here in the U.S. You know, they take that oath that all medical professionals do to heal and to do good and do their best to save lives. So at that time, we didn't realize that the doctor was neglecting and even mistreating me. However, throughout all of that, of course, when I went to the hospital on a Saturday, the pain I felt inside, it was almost indescribable. It was just the most intense, pointed pain, kind of in the center of my gut. And we got to the hospital. They gave me medication, checked me in on Saturday night, and they didn't do any medical procedure until Monday morning. They just do things differently there. They wouldn't do a CT scan until Monday. So things were slow and delayed, but the medication they gave helped the pain part of it. But my testimony is that as a child, as a five-year-old boy in Vacation Bible School in Redwood City, California, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And when I did that, I had received everlasting life, and I had confidence in the promises of God and the Word of God, and my faith was fully and my trust was fully in the Lord. And I felt throughout that whole time that I was in the palm of God's hand, that He was caring for me, that I knew throughout that He loved me, and I knew that no matter what happened, the worst thing that could happen is that I would ascend into heaven if I were to leave this world. So I did not have fear like some people have, a fear of dying, a fear of what might be next or what life might be like next, not knowing medically what's going to happen, because the doctor didn't diagnose what had happened until Monday when he did the surgery to look inside and explore. They didn't know if I had a ruptured appendix, if I had kidney stones. They couldn't really nail it down until they looked and they saw a big tear in my sigmoid colon. And at that point, he knew I should have emergency surgery, but he didn't perform it. So for two more days, I was getting sicker and sicker and closer to death.
Wow. Wow. Amazing story. Now, let me ask you this, because, I mean, your story is so, it's just like amazing. Let me ask you this. So in the book, and either one of you can answer, in the book, what can readers learn about your experience? Because part of this ministry, the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry, is to draw people closer unto God. And from hearing this story, we know that God is with us, and He promised that. So what can we learn in your book?
I would say that a person reading it could know that if you're hurting, there is help from above and the power of prayer from your friend. Never take a prayer request lightly. I had to be vague on Facebook. All this played out on Facebook, honestly.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. God would wake up. A Holy Spirit woke up my friends in the middle of the night and said, go check your computer. And they would go, oh, and they'd groggily go to their computer, and there it was, saying, this is happening. And every 2 hours it changed. Daryl got worse, and then the news broke back home, and the news was horrific, sad, tragic. And then Daryl almost died, and then another surgery. He ended up having three surgeries in third world countries. But the prayers of God's people mean and touch God's heart, and He chose to do a miracle because He just heard the name Daryl Bolton and Joni Bolton so much brought up to His throne. And another thing I would say is there's a lot of people out there that question the reality of heaven. And through this, what Daryl shared and the confidence and faith in our salvation, that it's very, very clear how someone could accept the Lord. I put at the end of the story of our, you know, the true story that we have. And so a person could learn how to go to heaven. And it's so simple and so easy. All the work was done on the cross. And then also when you're hurting, like I hurt so badly, that there is comfort. And there's a lot of verses in there and expressions of the things that we went through and all that the Lord had done for us, that I did not fall apart. I stayed calm, and people from that country looked at me because they knew about my mom, and I would smile at them, and they started coming in asking for gospel tracts. Mm-hmm. It turned in that we thought our mission trip was ruined, but our mission trip turned into Room 901. And that's where it was, and it was very exciting, actually.
I can tell you that we went to that country to minister with a missionary and his family, and we thought we would be going to neighborhoods and sharing the gospel and inviting people to church and things like that. But instead, it was a ministry to the hospital personnel. My wife was able to witness to people there. What happened was our host had brought gospel tracts from their church, and they're in three different languages, because in that country, English is one language, and two more languages are very common. So we had just a stack, just a buffet of gospel tracts right there, and people would come in, and I'm about 25% larger than almost everybody in that country. They were small people, so they would come by to kind of check on the big American patient. I'm 6'1", and my wife would always, you know, make sure they saw the assortment of gospel tracts, and they would be able to read it, and they would be intrigued, and would please take one. And it was such a blessing. I couldn't speak very much because I was just so tired and weak, but I would watch Joni, and I'd be praying, and she was able to lead about 7 hospital staff personnel to the Lord while we were there in that place. It was so exciting. And then from the 9th floor, she had an idea, and she asked the missionary's wife, "Do you think it's okay if I fold up the gospel tracts?" She said, "Oh, sure, that would be fine." And what Joni did was she folded them, made them a little more compact, and then she would see pedestrians walking along the street, and there were many, many taxi drivers and taxis going up and down. And they would look up and see a blonde person. Joni is blonde, and that's a very rare sight in that country. So they would stop and look, and some would wave, and then she would reach over the balcony and toss a gospel tract, and people would scramble for it. And she passed out maybe dozens of gospel tracts with the message of salvation to people in that country. And even taxis stopped and pulled over and scrambled to get them off of the ground. So it was just really neat to see the opportunities God gave us to be a blessing and a testimony, which was the reason we went to that country in the first place, through it all. Even though things weren't as we expected, God intended for some hospital personnel in that capital city to receive the gospel and to receive Christ.
Amen. That is excellent. Now, let me ask you this, because I have several questions. We have some more time. Now, would you and Joni go back to that particular place and do it all over again?
I can't wait.
We will.
Wow. I can't wait.
We really will.
Let me tell you what I want to do. Mm-hmm. At that time, it wasn't until I was writing the book that we decided it would be best for us to put medical definitions. So if someone was reading and was not medically minded and they got to the word peritonitis, and they go, "Dude, what's that? I don't want to go to my computer." So I put those down. And I knew what sepsis was and peritonitis, but I still had to look up the medical way of explaining it. But I didn't know anything about a ruptured colon. It wasn't until I was doing that. I think it was 1-2 in the morning. Daryl was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And when I saw on website after medical website after medical website that the only thing to do is immediate life-saving surgery, I wept. Mm-hmm. Then I knew. Okay, I knew the doctor was rude. I knew he put down America with his mouth. And I knew some other things went on that are a little too graphic to explain on, you know, it's maybe one-on-one we could tell, but never on the air. Little kids would be going, "Ah!" I didn't realize he was kind of trying to kill him. And then, of course, he was touching. The book is titled With Unwashed Hands because we refer to him as a bad doctor. The bad doctor never one time wore gloves, and he never one time washed his hands in our room, never one time. And our room was not clean like we would expect a hospital room, and we did have black mold on the wall. So he touched his wounds, not just He didn't have clean hands or gloves, but he would touch his wounds on top of it. And that is what almost took his life the second time when we were, quote, on our way home. But there was also a military conflict that made that doctor even more upset with his patient.
Yes.
And things got a little dicey and graphic. And but as we were leaving, and Daryl survived, so the other doctor saved his life, but then Daryl became back under the care of the bad doctor. And then at discharge, he kept coming in and out of her room. So what kind of training did the military do for you? Because your body, I don't understand it. It's as if you are Superman. What training did they give you? And Daryl's like, no special training. So he leaves and he comes back. What kind of exercise regime do you do? What do you do? Do you jog? Do you, what do you do? And Daryl's like, oh, I did a little jogging years ago. But then he comes back. Do you take any vitamins? And at this point, we didn't understand why he kept calling him Superman. And I laughed and I said, no, I'm the one who takes Superman. I mean, I'm sorry, take vitamins. And we didn't understand why he kept questioning it. Now we know.
Right.
Daryl should have expired, and he didn't. And so I want to go back to that country, back to that hospital, find that doctor, and say, I now know why you were asking and comparing my husband to Superman. It was God in heaven who spared his life, and I want to introduce you to him. I want him to know about the God that took care of us, and because he clearly doesn't know him. So yeah, I want to go back. I'm not bitter. I want to share my faith with him.
Wow, amazing, amazing. Now let me ask you this as well. Now, how did you and your husband, how did you and Daryl get started into the missionary work, and when did you start?
I'll let Daryl answer that one.
Sure. We raised two boys, and we were always active in church, and we always had a love and a care for people that did mission work. So we thought it would be great if each of our boys could go on their own mission trip by the time they graduated from high school. So our older son, that worked out easily. He was able to go on two mission trips and then went on to college when he finished high school. And then his younger brother, Bobby, it was his senior year, and there wasn't a mission trip opportunity earlier, but about midway through his senior year of high school, an evangelist friend of ours was taking some men to the Philippines to preach and teach and have a week-long meeting there. So it was an opportunity for us to go. So Bobby and I signed up. We went to the Philippines together, and for a week we had a tremendous time speaking in schools and in special meetings, and Bobby was able to give his testimony several times. And he had to get back home because school was going to be starting up again. I continued on with my evangelist friend and was able to preach and teach in Cambodia and in Thailand. So all three countries, one after the other. And I was just amazed to see the results and the things that God was able to do through a layman who was willing to just do his best, just to do whatever he could do, and see results and people brought to the Lord through that. So ever since then, I've been going on missionary trips every year. And then Joni began traveling with me about 4 years ago.
Okay, okay. Now that you're in Florida, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, what type of missionary work do you do in your own state or your own city?
Well, we're involved with our local church. We have we have a number of friendly churches in the area that are acquainted with our ministry. So at different times, we will be part of their special activities that they have going on. But one thing that God put on our heart a while ago, besides getting involved, for example, the home church that we have now, they have a food ministry, and anybody who needs help making ends meet or extra food for the family every week, our church does food distribution. So we're involved with that as much as we can. We are out witnessing when we can. But also, we open up our house to missionaries and maybe sometimes a college tour group will come through during the summer, and they'll sing and they'll preach and they'll talk about, and we just try to be a friend and a neighbor and give someone a home to stay as often as we can, those type of things.
And we do like giving out gospel tracts as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And we did, and Daryl did start a ministry called the Missionary Volunteer Program, or MVP Missions, where people that are just lay people could, we could work with a church and help them go on a mission trip for the first time, where they could come along with us and they could see how God doesn't necessarily only call the biggest and the grandest and the gifted. Anybody who will be willing to go, God could use them. It is amazing.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, is there anything that either one of you would like to share before we conclude this conversation? I'm just so amazed and thrilled, and I'm thinking about getting the book because it's an amazing
That's
story.
Wonderful.
Yes,
there's some
yes.
neat pictures. I wish we could have a picture of Daryl now compared to when he was so thin on the hospital bed. There's a couple of pictures of him in there, and he just looks so thin, but there's some nice pictures in there, too. And the book's website also has a couple videos that were talked about in the book. On the lighter side, right before we came home, there were a couple things right before. They're very playful, nice, and we put those on the book's website.
Okay. Well, great. Now, if listeners wanted to purchase the book or wanted to contact either one of you, how could they do that?
They could go to the book's website, which is withunwashedhands.com. Or if they just want to email, it would be withunwashedhands@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then on the book's page, there's the different versions available. They could get a signed copy or just a copy through Amazon, or they could get a Nook iBook or Kindle version.
Okay, great. Well, I'm excited, and that was truly a testimony, and I know the listeners learned something, and I know that God is really working in both of your lives, and I really appreciate you even taking out the time to interview on the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry. And,
one thing I guess, I was going to say, if any of our praying listeners would pray for Daryl, he does have, they lowered his lifting limit to 10 pounds for the rest of his life. So obviously we've been to many countries since then, a couple in Africa and different, back to Asia a number of times. But there's that lifting thing with all of his hernias from all those surgeries in his abdomen area. So I would love for your readers, your listeners, to please pray for that.
We sure will. We will pray for both of you. We sure will. Okay. Well, you sure there's nothing else you would like to share that's on your heart before we bid each other farewell?
Since we have another minute or two, I would mention that as a believer, I want to remind everybody that we have a sure home in heaven, and no matter what trial we're going through, no matter what foe we face, God is greater and God is able. And at some point in my treatment and my being in surgery and in the hospital so much, Joni speaks about it a little bit in the book, but I experienced what I call a trip halfway to heaven, and I had just such complete and utter peace and confidence in the Lord and my salvation through Christ that words cannot explain it. But I was in a place of perfect comfort, no pain. It was a place of no time, and I believe I was just this side, just nigh of the doorstep of heaven. And were I to go and leave this world, I knew that everything was going to be perfect and wonderful, and it was just going to be a time of great rejoicing. And so no matter, I know nowadays we hear more and more about people going through difficulties. So many people are dealing with cancer and different medical problems and medical issues, and that's always going to be on this earth. But as someone who's put their trust in the Lord, we've got something wonderful to look forward to and confidence that those that we know, loved ones and friends who are Christians, they are, I like to say, graduating to a better place, and that we will see them again, and it'll be a time of great rejoicing. So,
wow, that is excellent, and that's great information. And once again, Joni and Mr. Darrell, I would like to thank you so much. Please stay connected with me, and I will stay connected with you. I will pray for you.
Yes.
You pray for me. And
yes,
once again,
thank you
so much. I wish you the best with your book, your projects, any type of missionary work that you do. Okay?
It's our pleasure. We appreciate you taking time with us tonight.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we just interviewed with Mr. and Mrs. Bolton, and they shared their amazing story, how they received victory from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have a few announcements to make, and the first announcement is, of course, be sure to continue to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, promoters, writers, authors, publicists, and positive community leaders, please Facebook Alfreda Love, that's ALFREDALOVE, or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. That is the information to send your MP3 tracks, or if you would like an interview on the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry, please, get in contact with me. In addition to that, please be sure that you are praying for 75 individuals. Make sure that you put the Boltons on your list, as they did ask for prayer tonight. Be sure that you put them on your list. If you have to put your family on that one particular list, put them all on one line. Pray for them one by one and pray for yourself. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to watch the page, as we will have updates on different things that are happening with the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry, such as, once again, the book launch, also the book signing, the places that the Lord has blessed us to travel, also the speaking gigs, those things, and some of the artists. We already have some bookings going on with some of the artists, so please be sure to stay in touch with that. You do know that on Wednesday it is Praying with Love on blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. So please be sure to join me we're going to go at 5:30, God's will. We're going to start at 5:30, and we're going to pray unto the Lord for what we need. And so if you need the time and the date again, it will be online. In addition to that, on Saturday, we're looking forward to Ms. Brown. Ms. Brown will be on the ministry, and she has something to share with us. Some of our future guests will be individuals such as Dr. Thames. As you all know, she is with the Waco Independent School District. She's also a huge community leader, and she's a huge liaison for the educational structure. We're going to bring on different educators, different community leaders who are advocates for education. We're going to talk about different teaching strategies. We're going to speak about different things that are affecting the schools, the good things, the positive things, the things that we may need to look at. We're going to also look at the biblical terms as far as the church structure and how we can better serve the people, and not only the people of God, but the people within the community. So we're expanding, and we're getting ready to go on some trips, God's will, with the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry, in order to go with some of the artists, and also to just lift the name of Jesus. You know, that's what we want to do. That's the mission of the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry. So once again, continue to pray for everyone. Continue to be lifted. And remember, as I said before, you only fumbled, you didn't fail. So therefore, make sure that you're listening to the previous ministries that have been displayed on the Love, Live, Jesus Up ministry. You can log on to that website again, which is blogtalkradio.com/freedolove, and you will be able to find all of the different interviews, all of the different information from June, from when we first started. Once again, I would like to thank God. I would like to thank my family and those of you who are just joining. Welcome. I thank you, and those of you who have been with me since day one, bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Love, Lift Jesus Up ministry. And if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. Until next time, which is Wednesday, take care of yourselves. and each other. Goodbye, everybody.